Welcome to episode 41 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British Soap Institution, Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 6th and the 10th of May 2013. If we look back at this week in Corrie history, not a huge amount. 40 years though since Alf Roberts and Annie Walker became Mayor and Mayoress of Weatherfield. So,
what an occasion. I always thought that they were married to each other.
What?
The Mayor and Mayoress. I thought that they were.
Well, there you go, not necessarily.
There you go.
And it was 30 years since Mark Redman was born. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel, Gemma shrugging. That was one of Mike's sons. He was the one that had an affair with Linda when Mike was marrying her. That was just about when you were starting to watch it, I think. Although, slightly interestingly to do with that character, which is why I mentioned him, was that his birthday was later redated. He was originally born in 1983, and then a few years later, he was aged by 2 years, a bit like they did to Peter Barlow.
Well, that happens to everyone in soaps, doesn't it? It's the hard life they lead. They age much faster.
They wanted him to be friends with Nick in the early 90s, I think. So
Nick was an ageist.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't be friends with somebody who was 2 years younger than him. Right, so let's get on with street talk now. So, this week in Coronation Street, we've had a lot of the priced out storyline that we started last week. Not particularly huge developments. Lots of Stella whinging on about having no money and Owen getting angry like only he can. But we'll talk about that first. We've had some more of the surrogate storyline with Izzy finally sort of starting to realise that Gary is not to be trusted around Tina. Oh, I've been very relieved to have a Roy and Hayley and Sylvia storyline to the forefront. We had last week Sylvia wanted to go to the nursing home, we found out, but that's developed very nicely into a storyline all about Roy's dad. So that storyline we're calling Cropper's Popper. Thanks. We've got Gemma's laughing because the next pun is even better. David, epilepsy returned after I don't know how many years of it not being mentioned. He's been very, very knackered this week, so we call this week's storyline Platt Tires. Thanks. We've had a little bit of Fairway and tiny amount of the bookie and the rookie, which we'll probably cover in about 30 seconds later on.
Yep.
So, Gemma, start us off. What's happened in Priced Out this week?
Well, Stella's in the doghouse, as far as everyone's concerned, because she hasn't given Owen any money. So Gary moans to her about he hasn't been paid for 3 weeks, and she tries to explain it's not that easy, and he won't listen to her, really. So yeah. She goes to see Leanne in the bistro and tells her, I know you said last week that you were going to give me the money to help out with the Rovers if I got rid of Carl, but I'm not going to be blackmailed. I love Carl, so I'm not going to go
even,
for your
even
deal.
Nick was taking Stella's side at scene too, wasn't he? Because he said you shouldn't take.
You shouldn't have told her to choose. But Leanne says, look, he's not the person you think he is, so you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
So Stella goes back, tells Carl what happened, and she would rather lose everything she has, but not him.
Oh dear. He's got her around his little finger.
Gary needs Owen to give him some more money, but he won't because Stella's insurance isn't paying out, as we know.
Yeah,
I don't know what that conversation was about.
This is when Anna weighed
in. Sticks a roar in.
Yeah, she really got a knickers in a twist about this week, wasn't she? Didn't she?
It was an uncharacteristic swapping of roles between Anna and Owen, because Owen was being a bit understanding and trying to cut Stella a break, but Anna was absolutely adamant that she was a terrible person for putting Owen in that position, and there's no way he should let her get away with it.
Yeah, well, conversation between Carl and Stella then turned to a loan company, although she doesn't like the sound of it. So they thought, well, we'd better just go and tell Owen that there's nothing we can do. We haven't got the money. We'll face the consequences, I guess. So they go over and see him. He's flares up because he's already bought stuff. He's going to be out of pocket. He's had to put off working for other people because of them. And she says she'll get him the money, but he still stops everyone working anyway.
Yeah, because he knows where's she going to get it from.
Yeah.
So Gary and Owen go to the office to tell Tina what's happening, and she's moaning that all the invoices have got to get paid, and they're panicking, and he and Owen says, look, just trust me.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's thinking, but he's well, an alpha male.
Yeah, well, Anna wants to know what this is, and she asks whether he's got an emergency fund to pay the workers, but he's been using it already, and he just gets more and more wound up, and Anna also does, which doesn't help.
Yeah, so he goes to the Rovers.
Yeah, and he looks like he's about to wage war on the Rovers.
He's basically trying to prise off the fire surround to reclaim some of the material that he's had to buy.
Yeah, and Gloria's seen him doing this, so she goes to get Carl and Stella, and then Carl acts the hard man, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's got some kind of... He's starting to believe his own hype, I think.
Yeah, so he was standing in between Owen and the wall. I think everyone just wanted Owen to whack him with the crowbar.
Lamp him one! Well,
Why do you think he did it? Do you think he's still trying to prove himself to Stella? Because he obviously doesn't need to. Or is it the fact that he thinks that he deserves to be hit and that that'd like be his punishment for causing the fire?
Maybe a bit of both, I don't know. He's got nothing in his life but Stella. And if she finds out what he's done, he's ruined.
Yeah.
But anyway, Owen's sort of threatening to hit him with this crowbar. Oh, you know he's not going to do that because that would be far too violent. Coronation Street.
I'm sure they've had worse.
Whacks the crowbar into the wall, and Carl calls him a coward. And Gloria tells Anna that she should really control Owen. And Anna's not having any of that. She tells them it was all Stella's fault, and Owen could get out of business because of what Stella's done, and Gary's going to be out of a job, so they all storm out.
Yeah, and Norris was there at the time, wasn't he, listening in?
Yes.
And he then goes and spreads it all to Sally, because obviously...
They're staying in Kevin's
now
house.
Kevin's away in Germany, and he wants to know whether they're paying rent because they're going to be staying longer because of the work stopping at the pub, and Sally can't believe this, so she goes to investigate so that she can keep Kevin informed. Well, she says it's so she can keep Kevin informed, but I think it was partly she wanted to know the gossip as well. So she goes and asks Stella, who says it's going to be sorted soon, and then kind of it's left like that.
Yeah.
But later on in the episode, Stella has a bright idea, and she says... To Owen, ask him whether he'd like to own half the pub. So she's really scraping the bottom of the beer barrel here.
If he cancels her debt and finishes all the work, he'll be half owner and get half the profits of her business. But he says, well, I'm going to be stuck for money until it opens. I can't finance this any longer. But she says, look, the bank might give you a loan if they know where it's going to. I don't want to lose half my business, but that's the only thing I can think about.
What could you think about Owen being
I think it half owner of the Rovers? I thought it'd be awesome.
Do you?
Like, yeah, because it'd be funny, because he'd be a grumpy old git and he wouldn't last 2 minutes.
He'd remind me of like Dougie Ferguson, who I always hated as being in charge of the Rovers.
I think it would be great to watch him argue with Stella and Gloria about the best way of running a pub and come up with all these bright ideas that he thinks he's a brilliant businessman but only in the building trade.
Well, unless he'd prefer to remain a sleeping
partner. I don't think he would be. Can you imagine Owen letting somebody else take control of something? No.
Mm. well, the episode ends and Stella and Carl team up together to start cleaning things up.
In the Rovers.
In the Rovers, yeah. So she thinks that maybe losing everything is for the good, and it's reminded them what's important. It's a bit of a humbling moment there.
Bleh.
Yeah, she says, oh, I couldn't have got through all the past few days without you. And then he asks her to marry him, and finally she says yes.
Well, it was her idea for him to ask her again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so he does, and she says yes, and everyone... says, no, Stella, you stupid cow.
I don't think anybody cares. I think maybe the people who care about Stella were saying that. So, do you think they do beige wedding dresses?
Well, ivory is pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Her colour, don't you think?
So, Wednesday, they break the news to Gloria that they're all loved up, who's obviously thrilled about it.
She wants to go.
I think she'd marry Carl herself if she could.
If he was 10 years younger, she'd find a way. Stella wants to keep everything to herself, but Gloria is not concerned about discretion. She wants to know if they've booked a date, and it tells them if she pushed the boat out, that she'd have a wedding with all the trimmings, and make it a massive event, but Stella says, look, this things are really bad. I've even had to try to give Owen half of my business. And Gloria looks like she's almost cottoned on to what's happening. I think she lives in Cloud Cuckoo Land because she wasn't really getting it up until this point, but she looks a bit concerned at this.
Yeah, but they do decide that they're going to tell Eva, who's obviously not here at the moment, so they text her, and then Leanne needs to know as well. So they go over to tell her in person, and she's like, fine, busy on the wedding day, whenever it is.
I'm busy, I can't come, I'm busy. And they're like, you're such a cow, Leanne.
She is, I can't believe that she wouldn't go.
Well, they said, look, be nice, but she's not even going to go to the celebration drinks.
No, which they've decided to have it in the bistro.
Even though it's at her place of work that she owns, she's not going to be there. But she is there, actually, as I remember, being a cow.
Yeah.
But that's a bit later on. Owen works out that if he pulls out all the stops, he might just about be able to cover the costs and get everything up and running. But if anything goes wrong, the whole thing will come falling down around his ears.
Yeah, and Anna says that, doesn't she? She says, look, you shouldn't be the one risking everything. You need to walk away from it.
And he says, I'm in too deep. I can't walk away now. It's gone too far.
They don't need the money. He's never had anything to do with the brewery trade before. So she's kind of saying, well, look, it's not worth the risk.
Well, later in the episode, Stella and Owen meet each other on the street, and Stella sort of spills her guts and says, I'm so sorry about this. This is not how I intended any of this to go. I can't be more sorry. I wish I didn't have to offer you half my business, but I'm desperate and it's the only way I can think of to repay you. And he kind of like melts a bit and says, that love, okay, I'll see what I can do.
So later on, we've got this celebration drink, and of course Gloria has invited loads of people there, and even though Stella wanted it to be very quiet, and Leanne, not only has she said earlier that she's not going to take pass in it, she's refusing to serve them because she wants to do nothing, have nothing to do with it.
She's such a professional.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she decided to work in the hospitality sector.
Yeah.
She's got to be nice to her own mother.
Now, this is when Gloria starts splashing the cash, and the way the storyline went, I can understand that Owen's reaction to seeing this, because for weeks we've seen Gloria going out buying loads of expensive bits at the shop, but that's because she didn't know that they were having these financial troubles. But
it's got to do with Gloria. She didn't own the business. She just doesn't have a house to live in, and she doesn't have a job. But you don't know what savings she's got left over. And although she said she spent all her money on burying that guy,
Yeah.
I don't imagine that she had used every penny that she had left.
Was it's never been suggested that she would be able to buy half the Rovers or put any money into it, though.
I think she's okay. I think she's all right for money, but she just certainly doesn't own the business, so it's not really her problem.
Yeah.
So I think I overreacted. But anyway, we don't know. We haven't even explained what he's overreacted to. Gloria's ordering bottles of bubbly, wants to have a toast, and she stands up and announces to everybody the happy couple getting married, and Carl makes a speech and says that Stella was the one who saved his life, not the other way around, which is true. And so Owen and Anna walk in, and they see everybody sitting around this table enjoying bubbles and laughing, and wants to know who's paying for everything.
Yeah, they do tell him it was Gloria, but
I really don't understand why he flies off the handle to such an extent when it's explained
because he's Owen,
that it wasn't even Stella that was paying for it. It makes no sense to me. But anyway, he doesn't care.
No, he demands he's decided, his money. Yeah, and he's not going to buy the pub with them. In fact, he's suing them. So that ends the cliffhanger for Wednesday's episode. And on Friday, Stella was kind of maybe nursing a bit of a hangover and realising that they did get a bit carried away in the bistro last night, so she wants to apologise, even though Carl says, look, you've got nothing to apologise for. But anyway, she goes over to the cafe to find Owen and says sorry, but he's still obviously not cooled down after last night, because again he says, I had to turn down a load of other jobs because of you, and I'm still suing you. And even Anna won't bend. She's like saying, no, she's standing by her man, isn't she? Then later on, we see Carl busy at work in the Rovers, and Stella comes in and says she's throwing the towel in. And later on, we find out that means that she's decided to put the Rovers up for sale for a fairly low price. And she's tells Owen this because she's saying, well, look, if I can sell it off, I'll be able to pay what I owe you, and then hopefully we won't have to settle out of court. And then
Everyone thinks it's a shame. Sylvia and Rita find out. Nobody thinks it's a good idea, but Stella's got no choice.
I'd quite like to see like Sylvia and Rita team up to buy the Rovers.
Well, there's lots of small business owners on the street that seem to have fountains of cash when they need it, so.
How do we know whether Sylvia's got anything stashed away, or has she got anything left from Milton,
I think the no,
or
I
did she
think it's
gamble it
supposed
all
to
away?
be implied that she doesn't have.
It's a shame, because she'd make quite another a good Annie Walker for the 21st century, I think.
Yeah, well, anyway, after the break, Leanne comes around to see Stella and demands to know why there's a for sale sign up, and so they go to the bistro for a drink. Gloria is musing about the fact that the pub would make a good place to live, but then they all decide that Carl and Stella should really get jobs. Yeah, genius idea. I don't know why I didn't think of this before. So Leanne, she asks, Stella asks Leanne for a job at the bistro, but the only thing free is a cleaner, so she applies, and Leanne thinks that it's a ruse. Stella's trying to make her feel guilty and give her the money, but Stella's insistent that no, she is gonna graft away out of this hole that she's got herself in by being a cleaner. So that means that Nick and Leanne's mums both work as cleaners for them at the
You don't
bistro,
have
which
to
is
be our
so
mum to
weird.
work here, but it
Yeah,
helps.
exactly.
So that's the end of that. What do you think is going to happen? I don't see the prices actually leaving the Rovers,
No, it's
but
a
I can't
mistake,
see a
yeah.
way round it.
Well, either Leanne's gonna relent and give her the money, or Owen's gonna relent and give her the money, but I don't think they're gonna sell it to anybody, because.
I wouldn't mind there being a change of landlord and landlady.
Well, without the Rovers, there's no reason for the prices to stay. I know that they're related to Leanne, but she doesn't even like them at the moment.
No. This could have been a good time to get rid of them, but I don't think that's happening,
No, it's not going to
unfortunately.
happen. So that's the end of that. So in the Surrogates storyline, there's a bit of woes to do with money, because obviously Owen's up against the wall as far as money's concerned, and so Gary's thinking that Tina might be concerned about when she's getting paid for her baby. So he says, "Look, we'll pay for it, even if Owen can't," which is obviously a lie because they don't have any money at all, Izzy and Gary. When Izzy gets told by Owen about what's happened and how Owen can't pay Gary, she gets concerned. She wants to talk to Gary about it, but he won't pick the phone up. So she doesn't know where he is, and she starts to worry. But he's with Tina. It's fine. He's talking to Tina. Tina offers to lend Gary the money that Owen gave her for the baby. And he says, "No, you can't do that, but why don't you come over for the evening, because I'm worried about you being alone." Tina says no, and when he leaves, she does kind of make a grimace. I don't know what she's thinking at that point. It's not obvious what she's thinking.
No, I'm quite surprised that this affair hasn't started already at this point, because it's been a very long time of him just sniffing after her.
It's kind of what I said earlier. They're not suited to each other at all.
No.
Anyway, Gary goes home, and Izzy's really cross because she didn't know where he was, and he wants to know why he didn't tell Izzy what had happened with the job before he went off and told Tina. And then Gary puts his foot right in it because he says, "Well, you're not the one carrying the baby."
Ooh, yeah.
And she
Didn't
says,
engage brain before mouth there.
"Yeah, it's obvious I'm not on your list of priorities anymore," which
Yeah.
is really sad, but true.
I know, I feel so sorry for Izzy. She does kind of make it difficult for you to feel sorry for her sometimes.
Not at the moment, I don't think.
No.
So on Wednesday, Gary and Izzy are worrying about money, and for some reason, he gets a call from Foxy, an ex-army mate. But they don't really go anywhere with that, do they?
Wasn't it? Isn't there going? Wasn't there going to be a reunion or something? We didn't write that down. I think
Well,
it.
they don't. They don't. Nothing else happens with Foxy this week. So
No.
Rita wants Tommy and Tina get back together again, as she's talking to Tommy in the cabin. But Tommy says it's not really up to me, and he sort of indicates he thinks that Tina might be having other thoughts
Yeah.
at someone else. So Tina goes over to Gary and Izzy's house, and Gary or Izzy invites her to stay for dinner, and they talk about the army, and Gary ends up putting his arm on Tina's shoulder while Izzy watches frowning.
Yeah, he obviously knows that she's concerned about the two of them, and he's not doing a very good job at all to alleviate her concerns about the matter. And then it gets even worse on Friday because we see her checking her balance on the Nationwide branded cash machine, and she mutters something about £200. And I'd forgotten at this point about the ring from a few weeks ago, had you?
No.
Oh, well, I had. And anyway, we see her talking to Gary later about having no money and lots of bills, and she says, "Look, £200 was taken out of our account 2 weeks ago," and he says it was for some building work, some planks or something. Obviously, making that up on the spot. And he says he'll put it back in. Now Anna overhears this, and once Izzy goes, she says she's not impressed that he's been lying to her. Because she found that receipt, so she knows that he paid £200 for Joe's wedding ring. Izzy then goes to Owen to tell him about what Gary said, and he says that there was nothing, no, these materials weren't needed 2 weeks ago, so she uncovers the truth, and then confronts Gary later on, and he comes clean. So she's appalled that he spent so much on Tina, and accuses him of fancying her. But Tina was in the room at the time because Gary, I think, is turning into definitely becomes some kind of stalker at the moment and can't bear to be separated. And she wants to know if there's something going on. She says that he spent way more on this ring than he ever has done on her, and wants to know how many other presents he's hiding. Tina is obviously very, very embarrassed at this point, and I hadn't been completely sure up until now whether she was interested in Gary at all, but it does seem from her reaction that she thinks it's just as ridiculous that the idea of them seeing each other
Well,
as
she says, "No offense, Gary, but I would never go out with you."
yeah.
And Izzy says, "Look, I don't blame you. You don't have to leave, but Tina's really embarrassed, so she does."
Yeah. So Gary's
Gary's saying to Izzy, "Look, I knew I shouldn't have told you because look how you're reacting," which is always the man's defense
Yeah.
against arguments in Coronation Street when a woman uncovers a hideous secret. So he storms off to go see Anna. And Anna says, "Look, you've learnt your lesson now, haven't you, idiot? You shouldn't do that again." And he says, "Yeah, I shouldn't ever tell her."
But I mean, Izzy, as we all know, does overreact to pretty much everything. So in
I
a way, you
don't
can understand,
know.
but he was wrong to do it.
I would be very irritated with you if you spent £200 on somebody else.
Yeah. Well, Gary is has a bit of a confrontation with Tommy towards the end of the episode, doesn't he? And have a bit of a face off with
Pathetic little standoff between the pair of them that goes nowhere.
Yeah, because they both want Tina, but she isn't interested in either at the moment, apparently.
So Tina goes in to try to give Izzy the money that she's taken out from the Nationwide bank machine, but she won't take it. So she gives it to Gary, who's just come in, and says, "Look, we're straight, no more arguments." Izzy gets a bit upset and demands that he runs after Tina to give it back, but he says, "Look, I wish I'd never seen it to start with. This is ridiculous."
Yeah,
But at
so
the end
they've
of
made up at the end of the episode, haven't they? Not that it'll last. What do you think is going to happen now? I mean,
that's the end of it.
if only, if only.
Well, where is it going to go now?
Well, we've still got a very long time until this baby's born, and I don't think Gary has learned a lesson at all, and I think he's going to still be sniffing after Tina next week or the week after or whenever it is that this storyline comes back. Let's move on to a slightly more interesting, at least I think, storyline. Have you enjoyed the Croppers Popper storyline this week?
Not particularly.
Haven't you? Why?
Nothing's happened.
Well, today's episode was incredibly drawn out, I guess. Well, let's go back to Monday then. So Sylvia says that this Dorothy, who she's gone to see at the nursing home, used to be close friends, but she doesn't understand why she wants to see her now. So basically, Hayley and Sylvia go up to the nursing home, and Sylvia's quite funny and says, "Oh, she was practically begged to move in with Roy and Hayley." And basically, the reason that Dorothy has invited her there is because there's this letter for Sylvia that's turned up in all her bits and pieces from Roy's dad called St. John. Do you want to say a bit about what you found about that name? Because I'd never heard
Well,
that name before.
it's Saint John, and it's either a surname or it can be a surname or a first name. It's
Are there
very
any?
old English, St. John.
I'd never heard of it before.
And you've written it's St. Jean, it's not, it's St. John.
St. John.
It's Stingin. It's pronounced that, but it's written STJOHN.
I can't remember how much, if anything, of Roy's dad was mentioned before. I don't remember that name being mentioned, but I guess I may be
It's a
wrong.
very, very, very old name. It's not even like a grandparent's name, I don't think. It's like a war era or and before kind of
That it does
name.
kind of fit with Roy's kind of family history. Imagine them sort of being very traditional English family,
Let's
don't
bring
you?
it back.
Go on then.
Let's call our kid St. John.
St.
It's a boy or a girl, who cares?
John.
So anyway, Sylvia's really shaken up by this letter that comes from Roy's dad, and she doesn't want really want to open it. She thinks Roy won't want to know either. When Roy comes back from his boring talk that he went to, I can't remember what it was about, Hayley tells him
Trains.
that they found something out, and Sylvia pretends that it was to do with Dorothy, not to do with Roy, and she won't tell him anything. Hayley doesn't push the issue, but she's got like a gaping mouth, so she's really shocked. And so she confronts Sylvia later and says that it's up to Roy to decide if he wants to see this letter or not.
Well, it's his, he wants to see the dad because the letter was his dad saying, "Roy, I need to see you."
Yeah, so Sylvia thinks it'll damage him to have the past blow up again, and Hayley should just leave it well alone.
And then I mean, not too much happened on Wednesday, but Hayley's still mad at Sylvia because of that, and saying that neither of them slept that last night. And Sylvia says,
She objects to being embroiled in the secret. It's got nothing to do with her.
Hayley does, yeah. Well, Sylvia says it's tough anyway. I've thrown away the letter, but Hayley
Even though
says,
she put it in a waste paper basket, which is not throwing it out.
yeah. She should have shredded it. So, well, in the end, Hayley says, "Look, if you don't tell Roy about it, I will." So, Sylvia fesses up and hands him this letter, which she's managed to hook out of the bin.
Because you
And
have no
but
three about your banana, isn't it?
yeah, but Roy doesn't want to know.
Hands it back unopened.
Yeah, I didn't know whether to. Were you expecting that? Do you think
I
that?
wasn't expecting that, really.
No, I. He's obviously had a very bad childhood and he doesn't want it raked up, which is what the whole of Friday's musings between him and Hayley were about, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hayley wants him to read it, but he won't. So, Roy then, over the next couple of scenes, continues to worry at this matter and says he's not. I'm not going to debate it anymore. Don't ask me about it. It's not worth reading. And Hayley's like, okay, I haven't said you have to read it. Don't worry about it. And so the next scene, he's like, well, I don't have to open it if I don't want to. It'll take me back. I don't know whether to reply or not, or just ignore it. I don't know what to say. And he ends up just confessing that he's extremely shaken up by the
Yeah,
whole thing.
it was very drawn out, but I guess they just did it to build up the drama of should he do it? It's obviously a big decision for Roy to make, and if he'd have opened the letter straight away, we wouldn't have had that.
I just found it too drawn out, and also, I would rather they had read the letter. I felt like the whole week was about a letter that we never got to know what it said. And if it said something as boring as, "Dear Roy, I must see you at once, St. John, your father," even that would have been interesting enough. It just seemed like they made a mystery out of something they didn't really want you to be that interested in. So why bother going on about it then?
Well, it'll be nice if this is one of these slow burning storylines because usually when the Croppers get a storyline, it's like over in a week or two. And if they're taking it at this pace, then.
I don't want him to drag it out. I don't like anything being dragged out.
Yeah, but I'd rather Croppers filled up screen time than more of Stella and the others.
But I don't like it when they're sad and bickering.
Well, it's true. It doesn't look like this is going to be a comedy Cropper
No,
storyline.
exactly.
So, Platt Tyres. This was started last week, wasn't it, with David agreeing to take over on Kylie's shift at the bistro because she was getting knackered as she was with child. Oh, and then Nick comes round because he wants David to work that evening, and there's a bit of an awkward moment because Kylie gets the first baby kick, and then she's like desperate for David and Nick to feel it
No,
and.
she wants David to feel it, but
Oh
David
yeah, that's right.
makes Nick feel it, which is the
That's the awkward
most
bit.
horrible thing I've ever seen anyone do, to force a woman who doesn't want
Oh yeah,
a
you were quite
man
upset
who
about
doesn't
this, weren't
want
you?
to touch the stomach. Like, if anyone forced somebody who didn't want to touch my stomach to touch my stomach, and I didn't want them to touch my stomach either, I'd rip their hand off and make them eat it.
Yeah, well...
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I don't think I'll be able to cope with if I get pregnant, is people coming up to you and touching your stomach and patting you and poking you. I'd have to learn karate or something.
Well, they have a dinner at the bistro, of course, that night. And David apologises to Kylie for overreacting, because earlier on she says... He's been doing the hoovering and
she was hoovering.
Oh yeah, she was hoovering, and she was saying, "Oh look, you got to have a rest. You got to rest."
He kept turning her hoover off while she's trying to work, and she kept turning it back on, and it was a bit silly. So he says, "Like, sorry for being stupid."
We got Marcus in the storyline a bit later on as well, for no apparent reason as well, didn't we?
Well, David keeps badgering Marcus about birthing and nonsense.
Because he's the expert.
Marcus doesn't want to answer any questions because he's off duty. David comes home tired, and Giles says he needs to just relax a bit more and just accept things will work out. And then he says to Giles, "Do you think the baby will look like me?" And she says, "I hope so." Which was very good script writing, I thought.
Yes, yes.
On Wednesday, David is working a shift at Audrey's, and he cuts Dennis's ear while trying to cut his hair, which everyone makes a big fuss about. And then at the bistro, when he's doing a shift later, he drops some glasses on the floor because he feels funny and has low blood pressure.
This reminded me of when Tommy got that pizza job, yeah, and he crashed the car because he couldn't cope with... David does have his epilepsy. Apparently, this has come
does
back after how many years?
You can't work...
I do not know.
Shift,
maybe we're being insensitive, but I think that the men of the street...
Yeah, both our careers involve working incredibly long hours at... I mean, yours more than mine, but at times I still have to work.
Yeah, you do.
Longer
if it's
than
deadline.
A couple of shifts worth of work. I've never passed out and ended up with my face down on the keyboard, but then it's not physical work, I guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that clipping hair is physical. I don't know. We're judging him harshly.
Got to sweep the floor as well.
Having a medical condition. It's not his fault.
No. So on Friday, David says that he's going to drop Kylie off at town because she wants to buy some maternity wear. And Rita and Audrey and Nick are all quite worried about him overexerting himself. So Nick persuades Audrey to give him a day off. So he's having his day off. And he's agreed to take Max to the park to feed the ducks. Not only that, but... Joseph has to end up going along as well, because the Chesmys storyline ended up crashing into it. Katie wanted Chesney to look after him while she got a filling. He said no.
Yeah, Chesney was being a total git, refusing to look after Joseph while Katie's getting her fillings. So David said that I'll take him with Max to the park.
Yeah. So they're trying to attract the attention of these ducks, who obviously weren't playing ball for on the day that they were filming.
They've obviously eaten five scenes worth of bread already.
Yeah. And then he starts feeling a bit faint, goes to phone up Nick, and then falls over and has a seizure.
Yep.
Good bit of seizure acting, I thought.
Yep.
It was a bit chilling.
Yeah, so he's lying on the floor twitching for half an hour before we come back from the break. And Max tries to wake him up, but he can't. He calls for help. Nobody's around. He sees the phone on the floor, picks it up. Meanwhile, cut to the bistro, while Nick is lecturing Gail for going on about the fact that it could be his baby and not David's, and says, "Look, it's no matter what happens, it's David's baby. You need to shut up about it and stop trying to ruin David's happiness." Picks up the phone, and it's Max asking him for help. So instead of phoning an ambulance, Nick goes to the park himself, and Audrey, who'd been in the bistro when Nick got this phone call, goes to look for Katie, but finds Chesney instead, just the man. Tells him David has had Joseph, but he's had an accident. And immediately, instead of saying, "Oh no, how is he? That's terrible. I need to go and find Joseph," Chesney goes, "Why is Katie palming him off on someone else? I'm going to phone her right now and shout at her."
I don't understand Chesney's problem with David looking after him anyway. It's just like getting any other babysitter. And
I don't understand why he thought that not babysitting for Joseph would eliminate Katie's need to have a babysitter.
Yeah, well, it's
Just because
getting.
you're not going to do it doesn't mean it doesn't need
He
doing.
doesn't seem to believe her that she's getting a filling done, and
No,
she
I
thinks it's
think.
actually Ryan checking the inside of her tonsils.
Well, I mean, it's happened in the past, but Chesney has just lost all credibility as a good character for me this week. I've got I before this I thought he had some room for redemption, but it seems to me like they're just trying to make him look like the most unreasonable, hideous person.
Yeah.
He's getting as bad as Leanne now. I mean, he's probably worse than Leanne.
Well, we were all supposed to be feeling sorry for Chesney like a month ago or two ago when Katie was the one that was
Dallying
almost
about.
cheating on him. But
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know what they want us to think at the moment.
Yeah, so Nick finds David, rescues him, brings him back, and Chesney finds Katie face to face and starts shouting at her again, saying, you're seeing Ryan, but she's quite reasonable and says, well, if you didn't like it, you should have looked after Jay's of yourself then. Chesney won't listen. He keeps shouting and showing himself something rotten.
And we then get my favourite part of the storyline this week, which is when Sally sticks her nose in and says, "Well, David shouldn't be allowed around children because he's got epilepsy." And Nick says
This was
that,
just her and Nick at this point. Everyone else had walked off.
"Yeah." And Nick's was saying, "Well, it's not you to say that. Don't be so mean." But then she reveals that she knows the secret about the possible identity of the little baby's father, and she's very smug and about it as. Sally is very good at doing, and she says, "You can't lecture me because I know your secret. But I won't tell anyone, it's fine."
Yeah, she's a cow. Nick confronts Gail and says, why did you tell her, you idiot? And Gail says, oh yeah, don't you know that me and Sally are now the best of friends and we love each other and
As
we're
of the past 6 months.
and we've always been good friends, and so it's natural for me to tell her all my secrets. So he's not happy about that, but she tells him, look, Sally's not going to say anything.
Is it very well known that Sally's is bad at keeping secrets? Because I mean, we obviously know because we've seen it, but she mostly has only revealed secrets about factory stuff in the past. So I don't know whether she's got a
I would
reputation
be
of being a bad.
shocked if she didn't have a reputation for giving away secrets, because it's not like these things were private. The secrets were not revealed in private, were they?
Well, Nick goes and tells Kylie what's happened, and they're both pretty mad that she's about get the fact that Gail's told Sally, but they agree that the best thing to do is to look after David rather than make things worse by revealing the truth to him.
And basically, the doctor tells David to slow down a bit, but he says he's not going to.
Yeah.
That's
So are
that.
we going to have a repeat seizure? I don't know. I think this is a once in a storyline thing. What did you think about the fact that they brought the epilepsy back after all this time? It's a bit like when Tracy had her kidney problems last
It's
year.
quite good that they've remembered that they've given everyone all these terrible illnesses and ailments, like being mentioning Tracy's kidney scar and stuff. I think what's happened is they've hired a new writer, and the writer's gone through the character notes for the first time anyone's looked at them for 5 years and gone, hey guys, look at here, it says here Tracy's
David's
got one kidney and
got
David's
epilepsy. That was
getting
really
this. Why
important
didn't
for
we
one mini storyline when he crashed his car into Graham.
mention it and pretend we know what we're talking about?
Yeah, it makes me wonder what other sort of mystery things other characters are supposed to have wrong with them that we haven't, that I've forgotten about.
Exactly, yeah.
What's next? Fay away. Not too much this week, and it was only started on Wednesday. Basically, we just get another insight into the
Tim's
very,
ineptitude.
yeah, it is increasingly poor parenting
Anna
skills.
uncovers the fact that Tim and Faye are buying ready meals. Faye's late for school, she hasn't had breakfast. Tim's cagey about what they're eating. Faye shows Anna above and beyond award that she got for doing a project, and Anna is so
A
proud.
project. They are from the north.
Anna is so proud that she cries, and Tim just walks off.
I think one of those above and beyond awards, that's probably something like the teacher's gone, "Oh, I've got to celebrate somebody this week. Who can I? Oh, I'll just pick Faye this time."
Yeah.
I know that I've been
Done that in the
guilty
past.
of that, yeah.
So on Friday, Faye's really like a latchkey kid, but the dad's there. She's made her own breakfast. Tim's forgotten to wash her PE kit. He won't even walk her to school because he's on his
Well,
iPad.
he says he will, but he needs to finish something. I didn't really understand it.
Yeah, well, she goes to the cafe to get some cake and reveals to Anna that they usually eat about 9 o'clock at night. And they had a takeaway last night and watched the greatest Premiership goals on DVD. which is a sad, sad life for a schoolgirl. So Anna decides to tell her to come around for dinner and just bring your washing and I'll do that for you.
I'm quite surprised at how awful Tim's being. I mean, I think we always knew that things wouldn't work out very well and that Faye would eventually come back to Anna and then everything would turn out okay. But I'm quite surprised that the levels of his ineptitude, because he didn't seem to be this bad before, did he?
He doesn't care though, does he?
No, but it's like he
It's
started
not
off, he came in
doing
and he was
it.
a nice character and then
Yeah.
he suddenly got that angry phase and now he's just useless.
He's not doing it out of malice. He's just crap at being a parent. So after the break on Friday, Tim goes round to find where Faye is, and so Anna's really nice to him and gets him a beer, but Gary is like rolling his eyes and making a big deal about the fact that Tim's there. And when Owen comes back, he makes even a bigger fuss and demands to know why Tim's there, and says, basically point blank, tells Tim, "You can't cope. You're not fooling anyone pretending to be a dad. Get out." So Anna tells him off. Owen's overstepped the mark again, but he tells Anna that she should turn Faye away and make her realise that Anna's the good parent, because all Anna's doing is enabling Tim to be a crappy parent by picking up the slack. But Anna says, "Look, I can't do that. That's not the solution."
No.
Oh, Owen's right though.
Yeah,
She needs to let it
definitely.
all fall to pieces. Nothing's gonna, I mean, as sad as it is, it's not gonna kill Faye to not have cake for breakfast, you know.
Yeah.
I think she'll cope.
Yeah, although when she was in the cafe talking to Anna earlier, she did kind of seem a bit sorry for herself and a bit
Well, of
like she
course she
regretted
is.
it.
Yeah, well, it's up to her to say that she wants to come back. It's not going to work if she keeps being nice to him.
Yeah, I think maybe if Anna invited her back, Faye might suddenly get on the defensive again and say,
Yeah.
"No, I made the decision. You can't do that to me." The bookie and the rookie had a little bit of a storyline on Monday this week. Rob seems to be charming the customers, which isn't going down very well with Peter. There's a man who wanted to spend 10 minutes wittering on about canals, and Rob
Was
was.
it Roy?
And it was not Roy, no. But Rob was very charming with him. Tommy came in and won some money as well, and Rob managed to work through the maths in his head. So he's already better than
Well,
Peter, because he can use the gadgets and do the maths in his head.
yes. Well, later on they have a meal, and they try to show each other up in front of Marcus, and Peter discovers Rob failed his maths GCSE, and that's the end of that storyline for a bit.
Yeah, I don't really know why they bothered having it in, really. Was it to replace some Ken scenes or something?
It seems so.
Right, so that's it for Street Talk. Let's do a character profile, shall we? So, it's time for a classic character profile this week. With all the goings on at the Rovers and the fact that it may well be getting some new owners soon, we had to think about landlords and landladies of the past that might be good to cover. This week, we're going to be talking about the longest serving landlady at the Rovers Return, Annie Walker. She was born on the 11th of August 1909. Gosh, she's old. And died, we don't know exactly when, but prior to 1995, apparently.
That's sad. If they could have picked any time for her to die, she should have lived to 100.
Well, I don't know.
That's what I would have done for her.
Her parents were Edward and Florence Beaumont, and I was reading a little bit on the internet on Wikipedia or Corriepedia about the Beaumont family being quite high class family, and she always prided herself of coming from kind of good stock, even though it turned out that there were other kind of waifs and strays that came from the Beaumont clan.
So is it definitely pronounced Beaumont?
I don't know, how else would you spell it?
Oh, because remember my nan's maiden name is Beecham, spelt Beauchamp,
I think
but
it's
it was pronounced Beecham.
I think it is Beaumont. She married Jack Walker in 1937. They had two children, Billy and Joan, in 1938 and 1940. She first appeared in the very first episode of Coronation Street on the 9th of December 1960, and her final appearance was on the 12th of October 1983. She played Annie Walker for 1,734 episodes, which is a heck of a lot, especially for an elderly character who they usually...
Yeah, but they were grafters back in the day, Michael.
They had such a small cast list and back then, they kind of had to be in it.
They did it live, didn't they? So it wasn't as much work as you think. They didn't get it right, that was it.
She was played by the late and great Doris Speed. The character's created by Tony Warren with Doris in mind, and she was very much a self-appointed first lady of the Rovers. She thought that she was her role in life was to look after the poor old lower classes of Weatherfield.
She reminds me of Maggie Thatcher.
That's what I was thinking.
She's like Maggie before her time.
Yeah. But even though she was supposed to be looking after them, she did often despair of the loutish behaviour of some of the customers and the things that they used to wear and whatever. And she wasn't afraid to show that she looked down her nose at them, which did often lead to her insulting them somewhat. And Jack was left to pick up the pieces and apologise. She was very, very snooty and snobbish, but grew to be one of Coronation Street's most popular characters of all time. And back in the day, she used to get more fan mail than anyone else. Even though Coronation Street only started in 1960, a lot of the characters...
Only started in 1960, it's not been here for very long.
A lot of the characters had these very intricate backstories developed for them by Darren Little and some of the other writers who wrote, like, wartime Coronation Street novels.
So these weren't written for them by... like as backstory to their characters when they started. This was
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I mean, they probably had some idea, but all the details were filled in later. So apparently she moved to Weatherfield during the Depression and got a work in a weaving shed, even though she had her sights set on something slightly higher. But she met and married Jack Walker there. In 1937, they bought the tenancy of the Rovers and she gave birth to Billy in 1938 and Joan in 1940. Of course, that was just on the eve of World War II, during which Jack was called up to serve in the army, so she had to run the pub by herself. And even though they were a husband and wife couple for the majority of her time in charge, she was very much on her own. Some of the kind of soapy elements to her backstory that have been brought in was that she had a fling with the Bessie Street head teacher, John Barnstable, because she felt that the war had changed Jack's personality, but she was found out by curtain twitcher Ina Sharples, who wrote a letter to Jack and when he came back, he warned Annie never to stray again. After the war, Jack returned for good, but as the years went by, their children grew up and moved away from Weatherfield, which quite upset Annie. I think they didn't like the... old-fashioned style parenting techniques that she would have used on them. So we cut now to what has actually been on TV. In 1962, Annie discovered that Billy was engaged to a beauty queen called Philippa Scopes, whom she was disappointed with at first, but slowly got to know. Jack and her temporarily split up in 1964. Because she found out that he'd been paying money to someone called Mrs. Nichols, and rather than being a mistress, which is what she'd assumed, she was actually Billy's landlady because Billy'd lost his job and couldn't afford to pay the rent anymore. Annie eventually grovelled to Jack and the couple reunited. Also that year, she took in 15-year-old Lucille Hewitt as kind of somebody to live in with them. Her parents had moved away to Ireland and she was in the middle of doing her exams. Annie offered a place to stay. This did cause some tension, though, because, again, Annie was very old school in her parenting techniques and she didn't quite know how to raise young children in the swinging 60s. Now, there's another kind of Maggie Thatcher reference here, almost, before its time. In 1966, she stood as an independent candidate in the council by-elections. She was up against Len Fairclough.
Never stood a chance.
Yes. He labelled her a mouthpiece for snotty women. Although they won the same amount of votes, Len was elected following a coin toss. In 1967, there was another brief split between Annie and Jack, because they had some truth game, and I don't know what he said about her, but she was dissatisfied with some of the home truths that were revealed, and so she stepped up her nagging, which led him to move in with Albert Tatlock to get away from her. In 1968, Lucille got engaged to Gordon Clegg, who was the son of an alcoholic, which Annie very much disapproved of. But they ran away together to get married in Gretna Green, but he jilted her. Oh. In 1969, she won the Newton and Ridley Perfect Landlady competition, and they won a holiday abroad, and then also one of the brewery reps there offered them a pub in Mallorca, which Annie and Jack were ready to snap up, because it was kind of finally they were able to work themselves out of the gutter, I think, which is what they kind of always, or at least Annie always thought, Weatherfield was. But in the end it turned out that they were too old to work there. Sad.
In 1970, Jack had a heart attack and died.
Oh.
Annie took over as licensee and Billy returned to Weatherfield to support his dear old mum. In 1973, Alf Roberts asked her to be his mayoress, which was exciting for Annie as it gave her a chance to hobnob with the important people of Weatherfield. But she also discovered that Billy was gambling with the pub's takings, so she appointed Betty Turpin as manager. So after Billy left for Jersey, she decided to retire, but people convinced her to stay.
Yeah, they had a petition apparently, and 47 people said that they wanted to stay as the barmaid,
Well,
and
that would be enough to
that
convince
was
me.
probably more than double the cast back then, so that was pretty good.
In 1975, when Billy returned, he got engaged to Deirdre. Although this annoyed Annie, who did not get on with Blanche. Well, who does?
Well, yeah, I think I can totally imagine Annie and Blanche at loggerheads, both feeling
Yeah.
that they were the superior one.
Exactly. But the wedding was called off at the last minute and he went back to Jersey again.
Yeah.
Got good potatoes there. So she collapsed following a break-in at the Rovers, during which she stood her ground. But obviously collapsed afterwards, I guess.
Well, she collapsed the next day. Yeah, she wanted to protect her pub. It reminded me a bit of what Carl was doing this week.
The brewery were concerned that she was living alone in the Rovers and they tried to move her out, but she stayed on because they agreed to let Cellarman Fred G move in with her
Yeah,
to protect
I
her.
think throughout the
She could have got a
70s,
dog.
I think throughout the 70s, from what I read, the brewery were quite often keen to get rid of her, because compared to the landlords and landladies we've had recently, she had been in the position for a very long time, and she was an elderly woman living on her own, and I think they wanted some new blood in there. But because she was moved in high circles, or so she liked to think, she was quite close to some of the higher ups in the brewery and the council and that, so she always managed to retain her position. In 1976, Renee Bradshaw wanted to open an off license, which is obviously not good news for the Rovers, so she fought that but lost. She also learned to drive that year, because one of her friends had learned, and she decided to try and beat her in the number of times number of driving lessons it would take her to pass. So she did pass, and she bought a second-hand Rover. In 1977, she celebrated 40 years of as landlady. They had a bit of a party, which was held by the brewery, and everyone made nice speeches for her. And also that year, and I put that in this bit in for us, they had the storyline where she bought a carpet with AW monogrammed onto it. Now, do you remember? This is what we saw when we went to the Corrie Fest this
Yeah, they
year.
had a small sketch where she discovered, or they were talking about this
Yeah,
with
I
the
can't remember
actors.
who it was. Was it Eddie Yates or somebody had got her this carpet, and she obviously loved the idea of having this posh monogram carpet, but was later horrified to discover that it was a cut-off from the local bingo hall.
Well, what was the bingo call
I don't
hall called
remember.
then? I don't
It's
understand.
something Weatherfield. I can't remember.
Ah, okay.
There was a possibility that Annie would have to be replaced again in 1978, because there was going to be a takeover at the brewery, although the bid fell through, so she survived another day. And in 1971, she went off on a cruise, leaving temporary manager Gordon Lewis in charge, who promptly replaced all the staff. And back then, that consisted, I think, of Fred,
Betty.
Bette, and Betty. Yeah. So when Annie returned, she was obviously shocked to find this, and then had to win back their trust. Although it wasn't easy, because,
They're a bit annoyed.
yeah, they wanted they thought that they should have been able to run
Run
the
it by
Rovers.
themselves.
Yeah. In 1983, she suddenly left the screens, and it was said that she went to stay with Joan for a bit, and that turned out to be her last appearance, because the following year Billy came to the Rovers and announced that she'd retired, and she was barely mentioned after that. Nothing was ever revealed about what happened to her, although characters have since revealed that she's died. I imagine probably that Betty may have stayed in touch with her. Rita maybe, Ken maybe, but that's about it. The biggest mention she's had recently was last year during Betty's funeral, and they came up with a bit of a silly storyline where it was revealed that Annie had left Betty the Rovers in her will, although Betty had never accepted it. But that was a bit of a retconning, because actually Annie had never actually owned the pub, because it was the brewery that owned it. So,
Don't get let that get in the way of a sentimental story.
well, Phil Collinson, I remember him saying about this beforehand and saying, oh, with Betty's funeral, we're going to have a bit of a nod back to the past that I think fans will like. But obviously, fans were smarter than he was with that one. So, when she left, it was a bit of a scandal.
Which explains why it was under. There was no real fanfare.
Yeah, because it was revealed that Doris Speed was actually 15 years older than she'd always said. So she'd played this character for 20, 25 years or so, and actually she was not just an old lady, she was a very old lady.
See, I wish I could get away with saying I was 15 years younger.
I don't think it works if you're.
No, I would be 15.
Well, she collapsed upon reading this and was quickly written out.
That just sounds really fake.
It's sad. It is, yeah. It sounds like a soap storyline itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
She had more problems that year because her home was burgled, and she was moved into a nursing home and decided enough was enough, and she wasn't going to resume her role. So it was a bit of a sad end for Doris, really. We managed to rush through that character profile pretty quickly because neither of us watched when Annie was in the programme. I did see her in the classic Corrie episodes that I watched. I did like her. I kind of like the idea of having a snooty character. I mean, the only person that's like that now is, well, I guess Sally in a
There's
way,
bits of it in
Sylvia.
everyone. I mean, Norris is snooty, Sylvia's snooty, Gloria can be up herself when she wants to be.
Yeah.
Nobody's got quite that Iron Woman
No.
persona that she had.
No, I mean I guess the upper class charm was Lewis in a way, but.
Audrey's got a bit of that, like businesswoman,
Yeah,
mayoress,
I don't think anyone looks
posh.
down at the common folk quite as well as Annie did. But would anyone like that even fit in
I
nowadays?
would
Do
love
people like
somebody to
that?
come in and start calling them all chavs. It'd be brilliant.
I think, yeah. Well,
I guess people think that Carla thinks that way, but I don't think she does.
yeah. I don't think she does either. And I was thinking if Sylvia was in charge of the Rovers, they could turn her into another Annie.
They could actually.
Well, they tried it. I can't remember when it was, about 10 years ago, when they had Maureen Lipman come in, and that was after Julie Goodyear was supposed to be making this triumphant return to Corrie, but then,
Failed.
failed after about a week. So they hastily had to write this character Lillian Spencer in, and she was younger than Annie, but she was definitely supposed to be like her, I think, and she made all the staff call her Mrs. Spencer. She tried to get rid of I think Shelley and Gina and replace them with her children.
Nepotism.
This was one of Fred's friends that he brought in, and I thought it was brilliant when she came in. I was really disappointed that she was only in it for about, well, less than 10 episodes, I think. I don't know whether a character like that would be too much of a caricature, because I don't know, do people like that really exist these days?
Oh, there's snobs all the time, but I guess it's not as it's not to do with class as much as it used to
No,
be.
that's true. I'm just trying to think of any other Annie scenes. There was, oh, you must have seen the one that they've shown in clip shows where she's lent Bette this dress, and then Bette comes in to, walks into the Rovers, and it's incredibly low cut. Have you seen that? And Annie says, "Bette, you've got it on backwards." So that, with this low back she's got around the front, that's kind of funny. But yeah, I wish I'd been watching it back in the day, and I'm sure lots of our listeners will have more memories of Annie that So you might like to write in and share with us and whether you think that anybody could ever
Could fill
replace
her
her.
shoes.
Yeah. Do you think that any landlord or landlady could stay that long in charge of the Rovers,
No
or
way.
just because that sort of thing doesn't happen anymore? Is it just for the show there needs to be fresh blood in the Rovers all the time?
I just think that, yeah, it needs to be fresh. And also they like to put, it seems like if a character's been in it long enough, they get rewarded by having a go at being a landlord. You know what I mean? Like, if we really like a character, they'll have a pop at it at some point. Like, Becky was practically the landlady when Steve was in charge. If you run down the list, it's like a revolving door got installed somehow.
Yeah, ever since Jack and Vera were the owners, and that was like mid-90s. Since then, we've had Natalie Horrocks. I mean, we've had Fred for a bit was in charge. Steve's been in charge.
Exactly.
I do like the idea of it being an old family business, though. That's why I kind of like the fact that Deb's been in charge of the corner shop for so long.
Yeah,
it's
I guess so.
A bit of stability.
And Weatherfield, I mean, Webster's Autos. And
yeah, having to, yeah, that's going to
I
be
mean,
a
the,
sad day if that ever closes.
The other thing that goes through lots of people now is the factory.
Yes, definitely. I mean, Mike Baldwin, that was his factory for year upon year, but since he's gone, they've never really been
recaptured that.
No, because they had Danny Baldwin for a bit, and I mean, Carla has been in charge of the factory for a while.
Well,
but
her and random associates that pop in and out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's okay to have businesses like that, like the factory and the Rovers, where it changes hands. I don't think that the audience would really cope. And don't forget that we have a lot more episodes now than we did.
Yeah.
So, what I mean, 20 years worth of being in charge of the Rovers is probably
yeah, 10 years
to 10
worth.
Now.
Yeah. I'm gobsmacked at how many episodes she's been in, because like the elderly cast now, they kind of wheel them out for two episodes a month if they're lucky. And I mean, Doris must have had a lot of stamina to have been able to play that part, especially.
How old was she supposed to be then?
Well, she was actually born in 18 something.
Are you
18.
Sure?
Yeah, Doris Speed. Yeah, because
oh
the character
God.
Was supposed to be born in 1909, and I'm sure she was.
Okay.
It turned out she was born in like the very, very late 1800s.
That is amazing.
I know. Good on her. That's what Corrie's all about, strong women.
Yeah.
Let's get on with the news now. We'll be back with a character profile next week. Maybe we'll do Roy. I'd quite like to do Roy next week. We'll see. Okay, news time. Big news this week, of course, is the rather shocking news that Liz Dawn, who played Vera Duckworth, had a heart attack, but she's okay. We'd just like to wish her the very best and that she recovers.
Get well soon.
She'd been on holiday in Spain, I think. She'd been having heart problems, and apparently she'd hardly been able to go out. And then on Monday last week, she was rushed to hospital. After having this heart attack, she was been in Withenshaw Hospital, and there's been lots of messages of support for her, for example, from Sally Lindsay, who played Shelley, Sue Nichols, who's Audrey, Lee Boardman, who played Jez Quigley, we hope that she gets better soon. I mean, she's not
wonder
well.
How they collect these good wishes. Do you think they just get some junior who works in the newspaper to go phone up all the people that she used to work with and see what they say? And they go, yeah, I wish her all the best.
Yeah.
And so they write it down.
Maybe everyone's tweeting Liz Dawn's Twitter account.
Yeah, how does this actually work? I mean, I can understand you sending a card, but does that the newspaper people sitting and intercepting
I don't know whether
post?
It's that or whether it's these ex-celebrities like Lee Boardman thinking, oh, here's a chance for me
to
get
what
my face.
I wasn't going to go.
Although he
that
was
far,
in a drama
that
fairly
horrible.
Recently, a couple of months ago, so he's back. She's not a very well woman, though, is she, Liz Dawn? I mean, she's had emphysema for quite a while. In January, she was just saying about how only a third of her lungs work now, and she has to go everywhere on wheelchair. But she says she's fine since anyway. She's feeling better than she's felt for a long time, so we wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah,
because we love Liz here.
Yep.
Second bit of news. Oh, it's not really that much news, but I thought I'd mention it just because
I love Helen Flanagan.
I love Helen Flanagan news.
It's Helen Flanagan watch, everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure some of the current cast members must have been doing things as well, but you know.
They don't have a short skirts.
There was just a headline on Digital Spy this week that caught my attention, and it was the fact that she couldn't handle playing Rosie forever because she wanted to do Shakespeare instead. Well, she said she'd never give up modelling for acting, but if something big like Shakespeare came along, she thinks she might be able to manage
Well,
that
it
or
says she would
something.
like to tackle Shakespeare or something like Wuthering Heights,
Yeah.
which makes me think she doesn't know what either of those things are.
Who do you think she could be in Shakespeare?
Ophelia.
Is that an ad?
I think she's just trying to get Zoo or Nuts or whatever to do some kind of stupid Wuthering Heights Shakespeare kind of photo shoot or some kind of dodgy softcore porn version of I don't know, Much Ado About
I
Nothing.
think she'd make a good bottom. Next bit of news. Alan Hulsall's going to be a special guest at a free community fun day at St Nicholas Park in Warwick.
Oh,
If
he's
any of,
such a great
yeah,
character
I think
actor.
we've got a couple of listeners in the
Britain's best
Midlands.
loved character actor.
Well, if anyone is living in the Warwick area or could get there on Sunday the 23rd of June between 11 and 4, he'll be there meeting fans and signing autographs. Let us know if anyone goes. That's if we were up in the Byzantine Mum and Dad, we could go along to that,
You
but
could go there if
I
you
don't
wanted
know.
to.
I'm not that desperate to meet him. One day.
Sorry, Alan.
No, I'd like
No
to,
offence.
but
No
yeah.
offence, but we can't bother to drive to your parents' house to
I don't
see
really. I just
him.
don't want to go to a community fun day.
It sounds lovely.
Yeah, well, they are raising money for the Teenage Cancer
Well, that
Trust,
makes
which
you
I
sound like a
obviously.
right git, doesn't
I
it?
forgot about that.
But we
I saw.
can't be bothered to go, so.
It's like, it's 2 hours away. It's 2 hours away.
It's 2.5 hours
Yeah,
away.
well, if anyone wants to go and see Alan, let us know what he does, whether he's all right. Say hello from us.
I don't think we deserve to even have our well wishes passed
Oh, I
on.
know, I feel really bad for saying that
Yeah,
now.
you're terrible.
Final bit of ex-cast news. Bruce Jones, who played Les Battersby, is now earning £120 a week as a mechanic near his hometown in Tywyn, I think you pronounce that, North Wales. But he loves it.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he says, I've learnt how to change tyres, strip exhausts, put them back on, and how to make a good cup of tea. Customers say, thanks for fixing my tyre, Les. So he's pretty happy with that.
Well, fine, good for him.
I mean, it is good because a few years ago we went through some bad times with
Yeah.
alcoholism and things.
Well, no, he says, I was never an alcoholic. I drank as I was sat at home with depression.
Oh yeah,
I want to
depression,
get
that's
my
right.
acting back on track, but this gives me something to do.
Yeah. Be good to see him on our screens again.
I don't know why he couldn't come back to Corrie.
I think he could still.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know why he couldn't.
Yeah. It'd be good to see him
If they're going to get rid of characters, I might as well put some new ones in. I'd rather have an old one back than a new one. I'm sick and tired of all these young, buff, stupid
Yeah.
blokes and random totty coming in.
Yeah, he could be on the Anne's side in her battles against Stella and Carl.
And that would
I'd love
bring
to see Les show Carl what for.
Leanne back down to earth, wouldn't it? Like, look, Leanne, you're not a bloody fancy business lady with your
You're the spawn
annoying, yeah,
of
spawn
Les
of Les Battersby. So
Battersby.
get your facts straight and stop acting like a cow to everybody.
That's it for news this week. Let's move on to feedback
Feedback time. And last episode, we said that Devore would be on her holidays, but she's managed to get one last email off before she left, so we don't miss out for too long.
now.
She says she agrees with me about Reg Holdsworth. We were speaking about him last week, and I said I didn't really like him that much. She said, I never liked Reg Holdsworth, and he isn't meant to be all that likable, but I never found him funny either.
I think I did.
The waterbed scene is not on my all-time funny scenes, though. I think the top two ones were Alec Gilroy trying to hide that great big spider from the health inspector in the
That was
kitchen,
funny.
and the Christmas that Curly and Jack got really drunk and Jack thought he saw Father Christmas on the church roof. It was Derek Wilton who got drunk in an office do and got locked in and climbed out a window onto the roof.
I'd love to see more scenes like that these days. There's not very much that's done just for the pure comedy of
You're
it,
always
unless
moaning
it's. I know,
about that.
I won't say anymore. Need more comedy. More
Yeah, we
comedy.
know. As much as Stella is allowed to hate Carl and disagree with her mother and Carl being together, it's really none of her business trying to do everything she can to make sure Stella doesn't marry Carl, even though Stella already turned him down. She's right, of course, and Stella is too thick to have suspicions yet. Any thoughts on that?
I don't think I don't know whether she's going to be suspicious or whether someone else is just going to find
I
the
think
truth.
someone's going to tell Stella and she's going to have to accept it because she's too bloody...
And But Although she's not going to accept it easily.
I would prefer her to discover it herself.
What is that? How can she discover it, though? No, I don't know how anyone's going to discover it.
Well, I think... something will come to light, won't it? Or he'll write something or he'll tell somebody he's going to kill. I don't know.
Because, I mean, the way things are at the moment, he's totally
he's
in the clear.
Free, isn't he?
Yeah, he's... Yeah, so... But it, it
well,
can't
it'll come
last.
Back and
it's
bite
got,
him
it's
the
got to somehow, yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see how they do it.
I do like Paul, and I like Paul and Eileen, but I also think he's a selfish git. His first day back, and he does an errand after work, making him late. Does he think she's going to be unconcerned? All he had to do was send a text and say all was well, and he'll be a bit late.
Yeah, he's incredibly
he's such a
selfish.
Bloody numpty,
he did that twice in the space of like 2 or 3 months. He's really
he doesn't really care about her if he can't be bothered to do that.
No. Because I text you during the day anyway, and not when you're worried about where I am.
If I was worried, if you were worried about something, I would worry that you were worried and stop you from worrying about it, because I wouldn't like to think that you were worrying.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a perfectly natural thing to think when you're in a relationship. So I think Paul's a bit... I think he's just badly written. I don't think you're supposed to think the character really is that stupid, but it does annoy me when they can't even be bothered to write in... simple things like that.
I wonder whether there's going to be anything where she realises that he's taken her for granted a bit too much and then she's going to go off him.
I don't know. I know it's not going to happen, but I just want them to get married and be happy together.
Yeah, I'd like that, but...
not going to happen. It's a soap. Finally, she says, I did like most of this week's episodes. They're really, really tired of all Stella all the time. Love the Cropper stuff. Glad the Platts are back. Liking Peter and Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been all right
at the
moment.
Yeah, I agree with that, I think.
It's going okay.
I'm a bit bored of Stella now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been for ages. So we just had a little bit of Facebook feedback this week. It'd be nice to have a few more comments. Come on, brighten us a bit. I put a poll on Monday saying... Well, it's obviously that Stella's going to find out about Kyle, but we wanted to know whether you thought she would find out before, during, or after the wedding, because it's going to be around there, obviously, for the drama. We had one person voting before and one person voting during. What do you think?
I don't know. It doesn't. I mean, it's not like Corey's ever been shy of having a character go through the wedding and need to find out minutes later that they've made a terrible mistake. Because it's like, it's no big deal for them to go a year later, oh, I'm just doing my divorce papers from Carl, that scheming git, like we've seen so many characters do in the past. I think I'd prefer her to find out before.
Yeah, I don't like it when they set up weddings that...
Doomed
that,
weddings.
That are doomed, yeah, I don't like doomed weddings. I like happy weddings, and we've had
Remember
too
the
many...
the last time we've had a happy wedding?
Happy wedding, well, we had Rita and Dennis last year.
Yeah, well, that was ages ago.
But yeah, this year we've had doomed Tyrone and Kirsty. We had doomed Nick and Leanne.
Yeah. So have we got any others on the cards? We don't do
What,
we?
Weddings?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Pam and Bill, maybe.
Come on, Pam and Bill. At least you can get married in Germany.
Yeah, I just want them to... I'm not saying stay. Have a happy marriage. Write them out.
Stephen had a comment about this question.
Oh, yeah.
He said, since we're all about the drama on the street right now, instead of much comedy, as Michael keeps saying, it would be most dramatic to do it during somehow.
Yeah. But because we don't even know how it's going to come out, I don't know.
I guess I do would rather have it during, because I always get excited when they're getting married. I want to see what the dress is going to be like. If I was on a soap as an actress, I would want to get married at least once so I can wear a wedding dress again.
see if you get a better one than you have for us.
And then when we're filming, I can get you to pitch up during a break, wearing a nice suit, and we can get some more wedding photos taken. It'd be great.
On a sunnier day this time, maybe.
Yeah.
I also put a question on Facebook on Wednesday, kind of in anticipation of our classic character profile this week, saying, who was your favourite landlady or landlord? And again, we only had one person replying. But thank you, Karen, who's said she's not familiar with any of the landladies before Bette Lynch, but she would have to be her favourite. She's brassy and didn't take crap from anyone. Yeah, I mean, I think I think if you to ask most people who your favourite landlady would be, it's going to be a toss-up between Beth and Annie.
Well, see, if you were to, I don't think she's my favourite, but then I don't even know who I'd pick as my favourite.
Well, that's you've been watching it since they've had,
Millions.
yeah,
But I would say, if I was going to
no great
say
ones.
who's the most iconic, it would be Bette Lynch.
Yeah, I
She's the
think
most iconic, even
definitely.
though probably Annie Walker was.
Yeah, I think Annie Walker was probably landlady, well, for
Well,
longer
of course she
on
was, yeah.
screen, I mean. But yeah, Bette is iconic for the show, not just in the Rovers. And if you were to ask lots of people to name a classic character from Coronation Street, Bette Lynch would be.
It's funny, really, because is it just because Annie Walker never really had like a prop, like you were saying before about curlers and leopard print and stuff?
I
Is
think
it
that's
that she's.
partly it. Bette was a bit of a caricature, or they certainly made her into one. So I think that's partly to do with it. But she was a brilliant character. She was funny.
Bet.
Bette was. She had lots of great one-liners,
Well,
and she was really likable.
I only really saw her when she came back and she made a cock of it.
She totally did when she came back. But she was really likable. She was in control of the pub, and not like kind of Stella, who's I don't think. It would make any difference if she dropped dead. But yeah, Bette's, I think I would probably say, is my favourite as well, definitely. That's
And
it
Karen
this. Oh,
adds,
yeah.
as for new landladies, I'd love to see Audrey or Rita take it over. Both of them have the history and roots in the street to pull it off.
That's what they need. They need somebody with history and roots, because when they've had, like, Stella and the rest of the prices come in, it was just completely brand new. And it is nice to have people who know the area and have got a bit of history that can be referred
I
to.
can't imagine Audrey being a landlady, but I can
No.
imagine Rita.
I don't
But I
even.
don't think I think I prefer her as she is.
Yeah, I think she's better off where she is.
But I do think if you're going to have any two, those would be good ones, just for the reasons that Karen says, because they've got the roots and.
Yeah, I'm still disappointed that Steve and Becky never. They could have gone the distance. They could have made a great long-term
Well, yeah, if I
couple.
was going to pick my favourite landlady, I don't know if even know if Becky really counts, but she would be my
Yeah,
favourite.
she's
She
your favourite
wasn't. She was
character.
not a very good landlady,
Right,
but still.
that's it for another week. We'll be back in 1 week's time with all your latest Corrie news and happenings and things.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com. Visit our website at conversationstreet.podbean.com. Leave us an iTunes review. Find us on Twitter at conversationstreet
We
or.
got a new tweet. We got a new follower tonight. Hello, new follower.
And you can find us on Facebook by typing Conversation Street into the search bar.
Yes. So yeah, look out for any questions that we put up. If you've got any questions or comments you want us to answer in the show, then
Yes,
do that.
ask us a question.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had
Because
anyone ask
we
us a
don't
question.
give our opinions enough, I don't
I
think.
don't know.
I think we're very shy about coming forward with what we. That's a joke. I think we talk too much. Should we stop talking now and go away?
Okay, let's go away. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The music for this episode was provided by podcastthemes.com.